Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 339, and we're going to continue from Numbers, verse 20. At this point, we're discussing the cleansing and purging and purification of people who touch the dead, who are unclean, and what they need to do, and the importance of being very pure and clean when they come before the tabernacle. And so in verse 20, again, God says, "But the man that shall be unclean, for whatever reason," and again we read the reasons for it several ones, and there may be some others also, "in either case, anyone who is unclean, he shall not purify, and shall not purify himself," that is. In other words, a person that doesn't care. A lot of people, you know, when it comes to either teachings of God, and the teachings of God and the laws of God that sanctify us, and people may not care much about them, you see, or the rituals at this point, and they're all the same, whether physical things that God gives us, or instructions in terms of the keeping of the Sabbath, or holidays, or whatever it may be. And if we do not cleanse ourselves, and the people of Israel could not partake of the Passover, and the priests could not do it unless they cleansed themselves, you know, those ritualistic ceremonies of cleansing and purging and purification, and taking a, in other words, today we call it a shower, or cleansing the body. And in those days it was dipping in the water, a baptism, something that they had to do to purify themselves. And, you know, they developed an attitude of, "I don't care about that, you know, I'm just going to do my own thing, and who cares, you see, and I'll just come to God as I am, you know, just come as you are." That's the attitude that was developed later on and taught by the ministers of the devil, not the ministers of God. You know, God loves you, He will accept you the way you are. Well, God says if you enter into this kind of an attitude, well, you're going to be in trouble. He makes it very plain. "But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, that soul shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly." Why? Because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. You see, when people have this kind of an attitude, be it about physical things or spiritual things, they have to realize that in their attitude, as they come in their uncleanness before God, they are defiling the sanctuary of God Himself. And when we come to the teachings of the apostles, who were well-versed in this law, in the entirety of the book of the law, you see, and basically much of their teachings were based on what they have known here, what they've been raised on, and much of the preaching of Jesus Christ was based on what was written in the law that He Himself gave to Moses. It's not in a state of vacuum that they preached. All that was based on the truth of God from the beginning until the end. And so when the apostles were talking to the congregation, for example, the Corinthians, whatever they told them was based on this law. For example, when you go to the book of the Corinthians in chapter 11, where the apostle Paul, seeing the congregation not understanding laws, not keeping them properly in terms of the Passover, in terms of what was called the Lord's Supper, which was not the usual Passover meal itself, something that he did before the Passover, or the night before he was crucified. And therefore, there was something that they continued to do among the brethren, several times, we don't know how many times. Those were called Feast of Charity, and of course some people misunderstood it, thinking that was something that was a memorial that was done only once a year, and that's fully comprehending what is it that Christ was talking about, what is it that the church was doing. As they told them, "Do it as often as you remember me," you see. And the Apostle Paul reminds them of that very statement. This, verse 25 of chapter 11, he said, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant,'" that is symbolic of the new covenant, "in my blood. This do as often as you drink it." No need to say as often as you drink it or as often as you eat it. If this is something you do once a year, you see. But telling them that as often as they were to drink it, and when you understand the culture of the time, and when you understand the official meals that they had, and when you understand that the ceremonies of the drinking of the wine and the bread were done several times, it's not a one-time affair, you see. Well, obviously the context becomes different, and the understanding is different. And in either case, The issue here is doing it properly, in a state of a clean heart and a clean mind, not in a defiled manner. Well, I don't care about that, you know, I'm going to do my own thing. And so he's warning them not to behave in this manner. And so he says in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, if he's unclean in his attitude, unclean in his behavior, unclean in his conduct, just like we read here in Numbers, well, a person like that will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. You see? Just like Christ said here to Moses, the person that eats it, being unclean, is going to be cut off. And so the Apostle Paul continues by saying, let a man examine himself. In other words, to see what kind of an attitude he has, what kind of a mind. Is he clean in his attitude and his behavior and his conduct and the taking of this wine and bread in a worthy manner? You see, it's all related. It's all the same teaching. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, Paul said, you know, before you do that, before you take this, as often as you do it, examine yourself. Why are you doing it? How are you doing it? Is it in the proper context? You see, those people were coming here and then having a party here, and they were eating and drinking, and obviously it has nothing to do with the ceremony that was developed later on by the Catholic Church, and many of the people of God are still following that very custom. You take a tiny little nibble, you know, a piece of bread and a tiny little cup of wine. You see, this isn't what the Corinthians were doing here. They were having a party. It was a meal, you see. And it's sort of a potluck meal, let's say. People bring food and they eat. And a few among them, you know, they're used to parties in the Corinthian world. And so they get drunk and gluttonous and things like that. And they're not waiting for the rest of the congregation to come so they can all eat together. And so some people come, there is nothing else to eat, nothing to drink, you see. So that was taking this whole part of the ceremony of the eating and the drinking, which was a part of the eating of a meal, you see, because the context of that was to begin with eating a supper. You see, you don't have a supper when you just have a tiny little cup of wine and a piece of bread. That's not supper. You know, an artificial ceremony that was developed later on. It has nothing to do with the truth or reality or the manner in which God did it. It totally took it out of context. Unfortunately, many people follow in that example, and they don't realize where they got it from. They didn't get it from the teachings of Christ. They got it from the background, and they just continue to do that way, thinking, well, that's the way to do it. As Christ, you know, tells us, you've got to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. You know, we should not say in the meager understanding that we have, but expand on that and have a better understanding. In either case, he tells them, and you've got to examine yourself, see your attitude, see your behavior, and, you know, make sure you do it right. And so verse 29, he said, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, you see, that's talking about eating and drinking. That's the entirety of the evening and the meal and the supper and all those things. And among it, you know, there was the wine and the drink and the bread. That's part of the ceremony there. Anybody who does it that way eats and drinks judgment to himself. In other words, condemnation. Why? Not discerning the Lord's body. And what is it that Christ says here to Moses? But the man that shall be unclean and shall not purify himself, purify his attitude, his mind, his behavior and all that soul shall be cut off from the midst of the assembly. Why? Because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. You see, the temple of God. And we are the temple of God. And you see the same teaching here. Now, only here it talks about some other kind of uncleanness, but the teaching is basically the same. Now, God does not want us to do anything that has to do with Him in an unclean, unworthy manner. And so He says, you are not discerning the Lord's body when you behave in that manner. In verse 20 He adds, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Many are dead. That's like Christ says here, a person that doesn't do it properly is going to be cut off. And so they were cut off by sickness. You see, and they could pray all they wanted. God was not about to listen to them because what they were doing was discerning His temple, His sanctuary. You see, His body, His people. And you see the same problem there, unfortunately, and a lot of people are that way. They have no respect for God. They have no respect for His teachings. They have no respect for the details that He gave, for the manner in which things ought to be done. And so He tells them, you should not behave like that. Because look at the penalty that you are paying for it. And so He says, if we do not judge ourselves, that is, if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But obviously, if we don't, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Eternal, that we may not be condemned with the world. So if God allows us to be sick and to fall asleep, or He does not intervene, oftentimes we have to understand that we are defiling the body, our own body, or we are defiling the body of Christ. We are not discerning the sanctuary. We are not considering our conduct and behavior, what we eat, what we drink, the manner in which we do it, be it the physical things that we do on an everyday basis, or things that are special, like the saying, or whatever it may be. So, you know, basically the same teaching. You see the same mind. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is nothing different here. It's not, you know, so-called New Testament teaching. That's the same thing that has been from the beginning. That's why Christ says to all of His people at the end time, remember the law of Moses or else. You see? And just like we see here. Because they did not remember that. So had they been grounded in the law of Moses, they would not have behaved that way. And that was a problem of the Gentiles. In this case, it was not a problem of the Jews, who were more strict about that and more familiar with the law of Moses and the importance of being clean and pure in these matters. They were not abusing it. But these people coming from a culture and environment where that was their custom to abuse these kind of things, to become glutton and not pay attention to things like that. And so they were paying the penalty for it. And there are a lot of us who are paying this penalty to this very day among us. And some people wonder, why is it that God does not intervene? Why should He? We're not discerning His body. The laws that He gave us, the laws of holiness and cleanness, we're paying the penalty. And so Paul tells them, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat. So they came together to eat. It was a meal that they were coming to eat. You see? That was the issue here. Wait for one another. You see? And that's something, you know, we forget today. We don't know the context. We don't understand it. You know, we just develop a ceremony. We did not even develop it. We just got it from our background. And we do it. And we don't sit down to think. What is it that we are doing? Where did we get it from? Is it of God? You see? Or is it just our own thing? And because that's the way we've been raised from our youth. You see, in another religion with another spirit. And He tells them, when you come together, brethren, wait. Wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. So when you come for this meal, this feast of charity, and as often as they did it, you see, there was no time limit or a number of times or whatever it may be, whenever they did it, as often as they did it, they should have done it in a worthy manner to remember Christ. And that's why they were going from house to house in the beginning, the book of Acts, breaking bread. You see, that was the Lord's Supper that they were doing. You know, if you don't understand this whole thing, the whole context, obviously, you know, you just rely on your own background and whatever, you know, as time goes by, people develop traditions and they are doing it for a long time, that people think, well, that's it. And they just follow in that and they think that's the way they worship Christ. And Christ tells us, you know, unless we do it properly and right, you know, with knowledge and understanding, in a clean mind and heart, you see, we're doing it all in vain. A lot of people do a lot of things in vain. And so He tells them, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. You see? And obviously He's not talking about, you know, a tiny little piece of bread that they come for and a tiny little cup of wine. You see, that was a meal. When you come together to eat, He said. You see? Eat a meal. And if you're hungry, eat at home. So you don't come and act like a glutton. You see? Lest, He said, if you don't do it, lest you come together for judgment, condemnation. You know, that the penalty would be there. As God said, the soul that does not keep herself clean shall be cut off. You see, the teaching is the same. And yet a lot of people, you know, unfortunately, are not paying attention to that. And so we see even at the end of the book of Revelation, where God talks about the kind of people that have no respect for the law of God, and they just do whatever they want, and they obviously are not going to be in the book of life if they continue that way, and they're not going to be in the city. And so He says, people like that, chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 11, he who is unjust, let him be unjust. You know, that's the way they want to be. Let them be that way. He who is filthy, they say, the person that is unclean, that does not discern the body of the sanctuary in so many ways, let him be filthy still. That's the way he wants to be. Let him be that way. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy, you know, still. So he's contrasting one with the other. You see? And when you study the law, and you know the mind of God, and a lot of people don't do it, and so they don't know the mind of God. That's the reason why people invent a lot of doctrines. It's oftentimes based on ignorance. They think that they know. You know, they pretend to be smart and knowledgeable and things like that. And yet they don't. If you do not know the law of God, you're in ignorance in many ways. You're in the dark and you don't know it. And so he makes it very plain here. The person, the man, that shall be unclean. You know, that's the way he wants to be. Let him be unclean. You know, he's going to pay the penalty for it. And if he does not purify himself, and these Corinthians were not doing it, they were not examining themselves, they were not discerning the body of Christ, they were not discerning the sanctuary, you see. They were not making the difference between the holy and the profane, you see. And so they had to pay the penalty for it, and we still do to this very day. And a lot of people are paying the penalty without even realizing why. And they wonder. Well, a lot of calamities come upon people, and sickness and disease and death and things like that, and God does not seem to intervene because we're disobeying His laws. You see? Ignorance is not a justification. And so that's what he says here very plainly. If you do not discern His sanctuary, His body, His law, we're going to pay the penalty. And so he says, a man like that shall be cut off because he defiles the sanctuary of the Lord. Well, this is speaking about Jesus Christ here. This is the God of Israel. Whether it be in the so-called Old Testament or New Testament, that's the same Lord, the same doctrine, the same faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Israel does not change. And because people do not understand that, they are into a lot of uncleanness, and they do not even realizing it, and they're paying the penalty, and they don't know why. And so they just throw those accusations of God. Well, if God is love, why did Johnny die? Why this happened and that happened? Because we're defiling the sanctuary of God. That's why. We must repent, not God. And so he says, a person like that is going to be cut off because they defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of sprinkling has not been dashed against him. He is unclean. In verse 21, and it shall be a perpetual statute unto you. Forever, in other words, perpetual. It's not something that is stopped at a certain point. You see? And yet people who do not know the law of God have not been based on it and founded on it. You know, they came up with this doctrine, and many of us are parroting that just like parrots, you know, with no knowledge, with no understanding, with no discernment of the sanctuary of God. You see, using the same line of the false churches out of which we came, you know, who had unclean spirits in them. And we say, oh, well, and all these things were just until Christ, and then all points to Him, then one is dead. You know, once He died for us, all that is done away with. Nowhere do you read it in the Bible. So where do you get it from? You see? And then there are some statements of the Apostle Paul that, you know, to some people seem to indicate this is what it means, that they don't understand the context of the background, what he's talking about. No, this is Jesus Christ said, this is a perpetual statute that will be unto you. And obviously, if you don't have a temple, you know, then that's not an issue. But the cleanness and the discernment of the body of Christ, you see, of the teachings of God, of the laws of God, so we can be holy instead of unholy, you see, being sanctified and not profane, you see, that goes on forever. And many things like that. And so we're paying the penalty because of that. That's what God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Yes, by why? Why is it that they're being destroyed for lack of knowledge? Well, he continues. You read in the book of Amos, because they have rejected knowledge. You see, when you reject knowledge, God says, I'm going to reject you too. And so for people to reject knowledge and then come before Christ and say, Lord, Lord, open the door, he says, no way. Your work is of iniquity. You reject knowledge. When I give it to you, you despise it. You have contempt for it. You call it Jewish or whatever you want to call it. You are unholy. You are not discerning my sanctuary, my body, my people. My laws, get out of here. Oh, well, if you want to wait until that time comes and then find out, you know, exactly where we are, well, that's up to us. The choice is ours. And that's what we just read in Revelation. You know, a person wants to be unclean, let him be unclean. God isn't going to stop him. He's not going to force any one of us. If you want to be filthy, let him be filthy. You want to be unholy, be unholy. Okay? And then pay the penalty for it. But if you want to be holy, stay holy. You want to be clean, stay clean. He gives us a choice there until the end. And so he says, verse 21 again, "And it shall be a perpetual statute unto them, and he that sprinkles the water of sprinkling shall wash his clothes, and he that touches the water of sprinkling shall be unclean until even." Verse 22, "And whatsoever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the soul that touches him shall be unclean until even." You see, a lot of those things had to do with the just ordinary life. The things, you know, that we encounter in life, unclean food or unclean this or that, you know, has germs, bacteria and things like that, that is going to create problems for us if we're not clean people. In ancient time, that is not ancient time, for some of us maybe ancient time, but in the days of Europe, you know, when the people were very unclean, sanitary-wise, you know, they had the bubonic plague and many other plagues, and the Roman Empire was decimated almost, 75% died in the 4th century because of all kinds of sickness and illness and diseases and plagues, because people were unclean. You see, instead of understanding the reason for it, oftentimes they went after the Jews because they didn't see them falling prey to that, because, you know, they kept the laws of Moses, so they were clean. And so they were not affected by it, and so they claimed that they are the ones that brought it upon them. And obviously that was not the truth. But at whatever, you know, time that we are alive, the law of God is still applicable to us. Certain things that may not be because of the temple or priesthood, but God always demanded that we be holy as He is holy at all times. As He told Abraham that long before there was a tabernacle or a temple. It had nothing to do with that. There are many things that we know that can determine whether we are holy or unholy, regardless of whether there is a temple or not. So we should never think that those things are old stuff done away with. It has nothing to do with that. That's why we should be clean in everything that we do, in our mind, in our body, in what we eat, you see. And sanitary manners, you know, the hygiene and all those kind of things that create problems for us, sickness and diseases and germs and bacteria and everything else. And the laws of quarantine, those we're not done away with. We must always discern the body, the sanctuary. We don't have a physical one, we have a spiritual one. We should be so much more careful about it. A lot of people are not. So they get sick, they eat all kind of junk food, you see. Or, you know, they get sick in so many ways because they're not clean in many ways, physically and spiritually. And the penalty is always there. As God said in the past, it is still the same. The soul that does not pay attention to these laws of cleanness shall be cut off. Chapter 20, let's now continue with the story of the children of Israel. In the children of Israel, verse 1, even the whole congregation, the Edah, it's not the assembly, Kahal means assembly of congregation, Edah means the body of witnesses, came into the wilderness, Uzin, Tzin in Hebrew, in the first month, the people abode in Kadesh. Now Kadesh is not far from the land of Canaan, and they were down there, and that was the place where Miriam died. We read here, she died there, and was buried there. And that's the first mention of her since number 12, when she was put out for being unclean. In other words, she was leprous because of her attitude that was unclean. You see, an unclean spirit, an unclean attitude leads to physical uncleanness and punishment and finally death. They're all linked together. And so this is the second honorable mention of her, and she's dead now. And you don't hear anything about the congregation doing anything about her. You see, when it came to Aaron and then Moses later on, the whole congregation mourned for 30 days, but you can see that she fell from grace, so to speak, and there's no mention even, obviously they mourned for her, but there's no mention here. God did not choose to even record anything about her besides the fact that she died. And that was not a happy ending for her. Verse 2, and there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses. And it's interesting, in the very place that she died, Miriam died. You see, and Miriam means Mariam, means bitter water. And in that place, there was no water. And they were complaining here about it. And so they complained, everybody was complaining about the fact that they had no water and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. That was their constant attitude, being unclean people to the core. Their mind, you know, their heart, no matter what God gave them, they remained unclean people. They rejected that knowledge that He gave them to make them holy people. And so they always got into this kind of troubles. And the people strove with Moses. They don't ask him, hey, we need water. You say, well, could you please do something about it? No, they always assemble against him and strive with him. And how many people are that way to this very day? They're always in that mode of belligerence, of contention, of confrontation. That's an unclean spirit. Many of us have it. You see it everywhere. People are fighting with one another, bickering with one another. That's where we have divisions. So an attitude is there. That's what Paul says to the Corinthians. Aren't you carnal? Look at yourself. Look at the way you behave. I'm for this. I'm for that. And all speak against each other. He said, you're carnal people. We're as carnal as we can be, an awful lot of us, and we don't acknowledge that. That's uncleanness that is in our midst, and we're paying the penalty for it. And so they strove against Moses and spoke, saying, would that we had perished when our brethren perished before the Lord. That is in the different occasions where God just struck them dead. You know, what kind of foolish thing is that to say when they have no water? Well, you have no water, just ask for it, ask God. But to ask for death, it shows you the unclean spirit that was constantly there because their minds were open to unclean spirits that will constantly affect them this way. And so they said, why have you brought the assembly of the Lord unto this wilderness to die there? You know, which is a false accusation. It shows the insane minds, and that's what the whole congregation of Israel and all the older generation that came out of Egypt, they were so warped and demented and corrupted and so dysfunctional as they came out of Egypt, and they never got over it. A lot of people that have been abused in our midst, who have been hurt by other people, you can see that they can never get over it. They constantly harp about it, they constantly have a chip on their shoulder, they constantly complain, you see. They constantly are angry with everybody, and they are never willing to face up to it. Go to Christ, ask Him to heal them, cleanse them, purge them, you know, get it over with, leave it behind them, and go on life. You see, go on living. Well, that's the same attitude that these people had. And they were infecting one another also with this spirit, with this attitude, so they made it even much more compounded and much more troublesome for themselves. Instead of encouraging one another, they were tearing down each other. And so they came constantly whenever they had a problem to Moses with the same attitude. And so they accused him. He just really wants them to die. He brought us to this wilderness to die there, we and our cattle. And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt? Well, they were complaining because they wanted to be delivered, and when they were, now they're complaining about it. You see the insanity of the mind here. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? And they forgot why they had to, you know, be stuck in the wilderness because of their own rebellion. It's by their own choice that they are there. It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tent of meeting. You know, what else can you do with people like that? And fell upon their faces, you see, they ran to God. That's what the people should have done when they had problems not having water. Go to God, fall on their face, plead with Him for help. So instead of that, they grumble and complain and all that. And that's not the way to get anything from God. And so this is what Moses had done in Aaron. And immediately the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. He was concerned about their need, things like that. He knew what they needed. That was not the issue, whether he can give it to them. The issue is, what kind of an attitude do they have when they come before Him? Do they discern His sanctuary? Do they discern His power and glory? Do they discern, you know, their attitude and their uncleanness of mind and heart? They don't. And so they constantly were paying the penalty for it, and they never, never learned. Until the last one of them died, they still didn't learn the lesson. And as Paul said, all these things were written for our admonition, so we don't repeat the same mistakes, and yet people go ahead and do just the same. That's carnality, uncleanness of mind and spirit and flesh. And so God appeared to them, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the rod. Now, something very ominous is going to happen here, unfortunately, for Moses and Aaron. We're going to read about that. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take the rod and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and speak you unto the rock before their eyes. That was the instruction. You take the rod, you go to the rock, you go before the assembly, and you speak to the rock. Don't speak to rebellious people, unclean people, grumbling people. Don't even talk to them. You see? Go and speak to the rock before their eyes, that it give forth its water. And it shall bring forth to them water out of the rock. So shall you, that's the two of you, Aaron and Moses, he gave both of them that commission, so shall you give the congregation and their cattle drink. You know, once you do that, well, what is it that they're going to do at this point? Mind you, Aaron, Moses are sick to death, you know, so to speak, but attitude of the children of Israel. They're extremely distressed, they're uptight, they're frustrated. All they have is just trouble with them. And so, unfortunately, because of that, they have allowed it to defile their own minds, to affect their own behavior and conduct, that they forgot about what God said to them. They were not even thinking about it. So this is what they are doing instead. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said unto them, God told him very plainly, you go and assemble them and speak to the rock. What is it that Moses does? It's an example to all of us, and God is not a respecter of persons. As he said with Aaron, when he killed his sons, I shall be sanctified, you see, by what were the things that I do. God is a consuming fire, as Paul reminded us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. You see, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the Eternal. We don't play games with His law. We don't take it lightly. We don't say, oh, well, I'll just do my own thing, you see, and get away with it. Now, we can do that, say that, but we're going to pay the penalty for it. You see, as God said, He's going to fulfill His words. A person that disregards the laws of holiness or anything is going to be cut off. See? Sin always has a consequence. And doesn't make any difference who that person is. Moses, Aaron, you know, anyone of us, unimportant ones in comparison. You see? Sin is a transgression of the law, and the wages of sin is death for anybody. And so here it is, Moses and Aaron. And they go there and assemble the congregation, and he said unto them, hear now, you rebels. You see? And God is listening. God is listening. And he's seeing Moses disobeying his command. And so look what he's saying here. Hear now, you rebels. Are we to bring you forth water out of this rock? Not God. We. See, what happened to the mind of Moses at this time? You might, as you look at that, you analyze it, was two things. One is he's so frustrated with them that he's not even thinking straight anymore at this point. And so he says what he says under duress, stress, just like when he broke the two tables of stone, he had no business doing it, instead of thinking, wait a minute, hey, God carved this and God wrote it on it, you know, I should, you know, control my emotions. Oh no, instead of that, he let it loose. And God told him that time, didn't rebuke him, but you know, just told him, you broke it, you make another one, I'm not going to make it. You see, that was a rebuke to him, you know, in a gentle way. And this time he just goes all the way out by taking the honor and the glory to himself. After all these miracles and signs and wonders that he had done, you see, he had allowed an attitude now into his mind that I'm the one doing it. A lot of leaders fall into that trap. And we've seen many of them. But they begin to think that they are the one. They are the. They begin to personify as authority, personalize it, and put it upon their shoulders and begin to talk with this I. You see? Instead of God, I'm nobody. Well, even the greatest man on the face of the earth at the time, Moses, the meekest man, in a moment of weakness, not discerning the sanctuary, not discerning the body, not thinking by the laws of holiness and cleanness and all that, he had allowed her own attitude into his mind and heart. and he fell for it, and he paid the penalty for the rest of his life. Well, God told him, well, that's what you have done. Forget about going into the land. No matter how much you try to, you know, cause me to change my mind, don't even talk to me about it. You see, and Moses, imagine that. After all that he had to go through, and he had to spend himself 40 years in the wilderness, and at the end, he had to die before entering into the land. That was a horrible punishment for him, horrible disappointment. And God was making it very plain. He's not a respecter of persons. Don't play games with him. And the higher you are on the ladder, the worse your punishment is going to be, because you are most accountable. You see, that's what James says. Don't be many masters. Because we are in those positions of affecting the lives of others are going to pay the greater, are going to have the greater condemnation. Everybody wants to be a master nowadays. There's the penalty for doing it. Everybody wants to do his own thing. Everybody wants to be in charge. And there are all those people there in their ignorance that have lost knowledge and understanding. Among leaders too, they begin to encourage everyone to be a master. Everybody should be evangelizing. You see? Whether God called them to do it or not, that's neither here nor there. Nobody discerns anymore the teachings that were given to us. You see? Not everybody is a mouthpiece. Not everybody is an ear. Not everybody is an eye. You cannot tell everybody. Everybody can be a mouthpiece. Everybody can evangelize. Well, you can do it by your own example. Fine. You see, but there's a difference between that and just or becoming a self-appointed a mouthpiece for God when God hasn't called you to do it. And people do not discern the law of God and the instructions of God to this very day. And some of the greatest transgressors are the leaders themselves who are teaching this false giving false information to others, and in the process are going to bring their downfall. Now, that's oftentimes how unclean spirits enter into our midst, by people who do their own thing, bring their own attitudes, I'm just as good as you are, and things like that, and open their mind to unclean spirits, and they come among us. That's why Christ warned us, you know, be aware of these kind of things. Many shall come in my name. I haven't sent them, but, you know, self-appointed people. Just say, I'm the Christ, you know. I can teach about Christ just like you are. You know, I know the Bible just as well as you do. You know, self-appointed people. And they're not really of God when you think about it. When they develop this kind of an attitude, and the mind of God is not going to be in them, though they think that they do know it. You know, they walk around from places to places and they boast about their knowledge and understanding, comprehension and all that, and their wisdom and their spirituality. You know, these kind of people are going to fall prey to unclean spirits without even realizing it, and they're going to be defiled by it, and they're going to defile others. And God warned us, Christ warned us, be careful with these kind of people. And so, here Moses falls for that, unfortunately. And so he says, shall we, you know, instead of God, he says, here you rebels, are we to bring you forth, or shall we? Not God, but shall we, Moses and Aaron, bring you forth water out of this rock? Okay, what's going to happen now? And Moses lifted up his hand and smote the rock with his rod twice. He did it once, nothing happened, because God was not going to respond. Obviously, God was not happy with this attitude of Moses, and so he did not honor what he did. That was the first sign, in one sense. That we see it here. God dishonored Moses because Moses dishonored God. And so he smote once, nothing happened. Everybody's looking. What's the matter? What's happening here? You can imagine what was going on in the mind of Moses and others and Aaron. And then he hits it twice, and well, God is not wanting to make a big show out of it. He allowed it to come. You know, he intervened, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their cattle. Now Moses has to go back before God and account for his actions. And by that time, probably Moses is already aware of what he had done. So you can imagine his feelings. You know, he went to the tent, you know, with his heart in his legs, in his feet, you know, went all the way down, sunk. Fear and trepidation. And so he comes, and here, this is what we read, what happens here. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed not in me. Imagine that. Moses and Aaron fall into that attitude. You did not believe in me to sanctify me. You see, they were not, you know, discerning the sanctuary of God, the honor of God. You see? And that's the problem of all of us. Oftentimes we do things that we do because we do not, you know, discern the body of Christ. We do not discern his rule over us. We don't honor Him. We honor ourselves. We exalt ourselves. We abase others. We allow, you know, defile thoughts into our minds and hearts. All kind of things like that. He says, you did not sanctify me. That's what you were supposed to do there. Point them toward me. You go there and do nothing. You know, in other words, say nothing to the people. Just take the rock that is a rod and smite the rock. Everybody would know God did it. You see? But you were going there and taking the credit and the honor and glory to yourself. You see? And now people are going to be worshiping you. That's what a lot of leaders do that. You notice almost every single one of them. They draw attention to themselves. They create idol worship within Israel, among the people of God. And so a lot of us are idol worshippers. We look up to men. We honor men. We worship men. We quote men. We want to know, what did men say? Not what God said. You see? A lot of people are falling for that. And they worship of men. And they worship pictures of men. And so forth. These are defiled people. They do not discern God. That's what Moses was leading Israel to do, as if they needed that. You see? They were that kind of people anyway. And Moses was not there helping. And God was very furious with that. And that's what He said to them. In other places we read that He told them, basically, you rebelled against me. He was very angry with them. And He was not about to forgive. There are certain sins that God would not forgive. You see? We're going to have to pay the penalty. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, because you believed not in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. As God says, the person that is unclean and is not discerning the laws of cleanness is going to be cut off. And Moses and Aaron were cut off before they were taken to the land, before they could reach the land of Israel. It's as simple as that. You see? So, you know, we read these kind of things, and we fear and tremble. And realize that God is a consuming fire. He doesn't play games with anybody, and He's not a respecter of anyone. Those who do not respect Him, regardless of what their name is, He's not going to honor or respect them. And that's unfortunately what they've done. Of course, later on, Moses, you know, tells Israel, which you read in the book of Deuteronomy, you know, well, I just lost my cool because of you. They say, I did that. Well, God does not accept this kind of an excuse. You see? And He was not about to forgive him for that. And so He said, I'm not going to let you go into the land. And first Aaron died, and then shortly after that, Moses died. And after all this time, still couldn't make it into the land. So 40 years of misery they had to go through and never reach the land. That's a horrible penalty. And obviously it's only in this lifetime, but still, when you go through that, you realize that, and you learn humility and meekness and humbleness, and you do not exalt yourself and do not appoint yourself and do not do your own thing and do not dishonor God by thinking, well, I know better, and things like that. I'm just as good as you are. I can do whatever I want. You know, it's right in my own sight. You see, a lot of people will always cling to their own righteousness. They have no fear of God. They don't realize what kind of uncleanness enters into their minds and hearts when they behave in this manner. Verse 13, these are the waters of Meribah, strife, that is, where the children of Israel strove with the Lord. You see, that was their problem, striving with God. And He was sanctified in them. How was He sanctified in them? First, you know, by performing that miracle of bringing water. And also, unfortunately, with the punishment that He brought upon Moses and Aaron of not being able to go there into the land. In either case, God, you know, let them know that He is a God to be sanctified and to be hallowed and to be honored. And anybody who dishonors Him is going to be paying the penalty for it. And that's one way how God sanctifies Himself also in our sight. Verse 14, and Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. So now they're at the bottom there where Edom was, below the Dead Sea, way down there, toward Elat, Aqaba, that area there. They were at that point there. So he sent messengers to the king of Edom. Mind you, Edom is a brother of Jacob, twin brother. But Edom was always of a contrary spirit from birth. And so we read here, this is what he says. Now notice how Moses is going to address Edom and the reaction of Edom in contrast, showing the two different spirits there. And thus says, your brother Israel, you know all the travail that has befallen us. He's addressing him as a brother because they were. And unfortunately, this very day they forgot that they are brothers, and so they're fighting one another, not obeying God. And I think we should stop at this point. Again, this is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.